1-800-831-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in St. Mary's at 91.3. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Those of you who are frequent listeners to Dr. Youngblood's broadcast recognize that I have sat in for him before, and it's always an honor and a pleasure to do so. We have an awful lot today that I would like to go over with. And if you would like to join in the conversation today, the call-in number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. For those of you who have not heard before, a little bit about myself. I'm in the Pensacola, Florida area. I'm a small business owner. I own an insurance and financial services agency. I've been doing that now for 34 years. Prior to that, I was active duty Air Force after graduating from the Air Force Academy in 1980. I served in the Florida State House from 2013 to 2016. Then I was in what was called District 2, which is the panhandle of Florida, the Pensacola area. I was I then sat out for 2 years and then was in office again from 2018 to 2020 in District 1. And again, that's in the Florida panhandle. It's north Escambia County. District 2 is south Escambia County and south Santa Rosa County. So I've been in office, enjoyed the time I was there. But now that I am out of office, I'm enjoying that even more. I'm enjoying just working on my business and loving on my four grandchildren who all live within 20 minutes of my wife and I. I'm what they call a recovering politician. And I'm enjoying what I'm doing now and out of politics, even though I will admit I watch the news daily to see what is going on, because politicians can either wreck your life or keep your life as it is. Seldom do they make it better. But I will admit this about President Trump, that when he was in office, he did make our lives better in terms of how it was affecting our pocketbooks. Things were a whole lot better back then. Our border was secure. We weren't in these forever wars all over the world, and he certainly wasn't starting any new ones. So that being said, you must know that I am a Donald Trump supporter. I'm going to be voting for him in November. I hope you will, too. We need him back in office. Now, I don't know just by saying that how many listeners I just lost, but that's okay. Those of you who are also supporters, let your friends and family know, hey, tune in right now, listen to the broadcast, because we have someone who's a Trump supporter. Now, before we get started, let's talk about our sponsor. Let's Face the Issues is brought to you in part by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time also has a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including Honda and Echo generators. Tools for a Time staff can answer all of your homeowner and professional and backup power equipment questions. They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, near the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295, right at the base of the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. They can be reached online at toolsforatime.com. That's toolsforatime.com. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, an awful lot like to talk about today, and I hope we get to this one article that I want us to talk about called The True State of the U.S. Economy. Not this fakeness that you heard from the Democrat National Convention last week or from the Biden administration for the last year and a half, perhaps 2 years, of how the U.S. economy is doing fantastic. It is not. And anyone knows that because we feel it each day as we buy groceries, get gas, or just about anything else. Have you looked at your insurance bill lately? All of that is a reflection of our economy at this time. So I hope we can get to that article that we can talk about, and we will, after we go over a number of things that I'd like us to look at to consider, some recent things in the news. And as we go through these items that we talk about in the news, reflect on and think, as a Christian, what should be your response? How should you react to what you are hearing going on in the news right now? And if you would like to call in, let me know your thoughts. Let me know how you would react to this situation, how you think we should react as Christians. And I see we have a caller on the line right now, Kenneth.
Now,
what is your question or thought, please?
Yes, sir. My brother, you are dead on point. Because I looked at the Democratic convention, and I had to take it with, like, casserole. Because I wanted to get it out of my system. Only thing they had was a big party and trying to knock down, I still call him President Trump. And what they did, to me was this: you didn't see anything about the economy. You didn't say anything. And supposed to be the savior, Kamala Harris. Supposed to be the savior. Never talked about anything that they were going to do in their administration. Not one word came out of her mouth.
And yes, you're absolutely right. Now, I will admit that I did not watch the convention only because I knew that if I did, I was going to be disappointed by hearing nothing but a lot of lies and exaggerations.
Yes.
And not telling the truth of the real state of our economy. And as you mentioned, they didn't even talk about it at all. And they couldn't.
No, they did.
Without telling more falsehoods. So I commend you, Kenneth, for watching it. I didn't. Now, I will admit, I didn't watch the Republican National Convention either because I didn't have time. And I knew whatever they were going to talk about, that for the most part, I would agree with it. And I just moved on from there. So I didn't, you know, just didn't spend time doing that. I was spending time doing other things. But Kenneth, your assessment is right on. You're exactly right. They did not mention the economy at all. If they did, they lied about it and said that it's in good shape and how they're going to make it better. But of course, they didn't, and they can't.
Can I ask you one more question and I'm going to get off the line? Okay, when Biden got in, you closed down the Keystone pipeline, then go to Saudi Arabia and ask them to pump more oil. Did that make sense to me? And I'll get off the line and I'll hear your response.
No, Kenneth, you're right. That doesn't make sense at all. Here's something that's interesting. I wasn't aware of this until just recently, that there is actually more oil and gas that is being pumped right now than it was during the Trump administration. Surprise! I was shocked when I saw that. Now, they still have the Keystone pipeline shut down. If they were to open that up, gas, again, would be plentiful. We could be an oil exporter in ways that, and that gives us more influence around the world by being able to do that. But I was surprised to see that we are actually pumping more oil now than during the Trump administration. So I tried to ask, why is that? Why are we doing that? Well, it didn't happen until the last 2 years of the Biden administration. And the reason being is they needed to get the cost of gas and oil to come down so that when it comes time for election, they would have it at a point where at least it still isn't as low as it was when Trump was in office. But it is better than it was 2 years ago when we were paying $4 and in some places $5 a gallon for gas. I know here in the Pensacola area, it's in the low $3. You can find it in some places under $3. But again, that's higher than when Trump was in office, when he had it down just below $2 a gallon. After depleting our strategic reserves to get the cost of oil down, which is only supposed to be used in cases of a national emergency, but that's the Democrats for you. They don't think logically all the time. So after depleting our strategic reserves, that wasn't enough, so they started pumping oil again. But why did they keep it quiet? They kept it quiet because they knew that the lunatics on the left who scream climate warming, climate change, whatever they want to call it, that we're releasing CO2 into the air and then is causing the planet to heat up, which is nonsense, and everyone knows it. It doesn't even make sense anymore. They had to change from climate warming to climate change because our climate is always changing. But if they had announced that they were pumping more oil now than when Trump was in office, those lunatics would go berserk. They would be even more up in arms than these crazies who are these Palestinians who are, say it differently, these people who are protesting about Israel defending itself against Hamas. And we see those crazy protesters everywhere. And so the Biden administration did not want to see that happening, along with the lunatics with climate change also protesting. They knew it would all be over. And so that's why they're not publicizing. And the media is complicit in not publicizing the fact that they are pumping more oil now than when Donald Trump was in office, because they too do not want those lunatics to go crazy, raise a lot of ruckus, start protesting somewhere and bring attention to that. And then they start losing even more of their crazy base who will not vote for Trump. I guarantee you that. But the thing is, they won't go out and vote at all. And that's what they were concerned about. Speaking of voting, ladies and gentlemen, it is imperative that you go out and vote in November. On election day, you must go out and vote. Many are saying vote early. I'm one who votes on election day. The reason why I don't vote early is because when you vote early, that gives them information on how much they need to cheat. But the fact is that I know there are some Republicans who are saying vote early because we have to have every vote, and we don't want something happening on election day which might prevent you from voting, whether it be the weather, how you feel that day, or some other shenanigan that the Democrats are pulling in these swing states and in other areas, that they pull these shenanigans which could hurt your vote being counted. So that's why some on the Republican Party say vote early, go ahead and get to the polls or send in your ballots. As for me, I'm going to vote on election day, and that's what I have done over the past 20 years. I vote solely on election day. I don't vote early. Now, I take that back. In 2022, I did vote early because I was running for office myself at that time. I was at one of the precincts, early voting precincts, and I knew on election day I was going to be at a precinct. And so I went ahead and voted just so I can get that out of the way so I could focus on what I needed to do at the precinct on election day. Okay, that being said, there are a number of things we can talk about. And again, if you would like to join the discussion, call in at 904-831-0917. Top of the headline we see here, as we all know, Robert Kennedy Jr. endorses Trump, and the Kennedy family claims he betrayed them. I'm like, oh, please, really? Okay, this comes from the Daily Wire. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. spoke at Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump's rally in Arizona on Friday night, where he explained why he decided to endorse the former president. Kennedy's remarks came after he announced earlier in the day that he was suspending his campaign and being removed from the ballot in swing states because he did not want to help Democrat presidential nominee Vice President Kamala Harris by staying in the race. Kennedy said that Trump signaled he wanted to end censorship from the political left in the U.S. We know that a government that can silence its opponents has license for any kind of atrocity, Kennedy said. And can you think of any time that you can look back in history and say that the people who were censoring were the good guys? They're always the bad guys, because it's always the first step down that slippery slope to totalitarianism. RF Kennedy Jr. is exactly right. I was very pleased to see that he did drop out of the race and endorse Trump. And the whole idea is, will all of his followers vote for Trump? I don't think so, but I think a number of them will. And the other thing is, he knew that while he was in the race, he was taking votes from Donald Trump. He knew that. And so he did not want to do that. Why? Because he does not want Kamala Harris and that nut, Tim Walz, to be elected. And so he was going to do what he could do to help protect this country. So as a true American, he made the sacrifice of stepping back and instead endorsing Trump. Now, his vice president that he had chosen, this is a Kennedy vice president that he had chosen, I saw a video of her where what they had to consider was to either stay in the race and then be eligible to receive funds when they decide to run next time in 2028, when they decide to run next time, where they would not have to spend tens of millions of dollars to qualify on the ballot. If they stayed in the race, then they would be able to receive those federal funds to help them qualify in these states when they run again. That was one issue. That was on the one side that they were saying why they wanted to stay in the race. On the other hand, they did not want Kamala Harris, Tim Walz to win this election. As true Americans, they know that that would be a disaster. So she said, that's what we are weighing right now. And as we can see, the decision was made to forego being able to receive government funding and qualify in 2028 when they, should they decide to run again, but to instead sacrifice that. And that is what American patriots do. Sacrifice that and instead drop out of the race and endorse Trump. Now, having said that, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., RFK Jr., has been a Democrat his entire life until just recently when he went NPA because the Democrats pushed him out. He didn't have a choice. They pushed him out, and instead of just rolling over and quitting like Bernie Sanders did, they said, no, we have a cause we're going to fight for. And so he went non-party affiliation, NPA. But he has been a Democrat his entire life. Because of that, if I were the Biden administration, I would keep a wary eye on him at all times. We're glad that he decided to come over to our side, but you have to be wary of where he stands on issues, what his actions are going to be, because you know them by their fruits. So keep a wary eye on him until he has proven that he can be trusted. That's when you can embrace him even more. That's my suggestion to the Trump administration, and I bet it doesn't go anywhere because my suggestion means nothing to them, and that's okay too. Now, from Town Hall, we read about the same topic of RFK Jr. endorsing Trump. Town Hall reads, RFK Jr. announced that he was endorsing former President Donald Trump, speaking harsh criticism from the left-wing media and even his family members regarding his decision. Kennedy's sister, Carrie Kennedy, condemned her brother's decision, saying he betrayed the family and everything they stand for. Here's a quote from Carrie Kennedy. I am sharing a personal statement that my family and I have made in response to my brother's announcement, and that's on X. And I read that statement, and it's full of Democrat nonsense. Where was her outrage when we saw her other brothers committing outrageous events, such as drowning a young intern in the water? How about when we saw how, as he was running for office, and the atrocities that were committed then? We didn't hear your outrage at that time, and you were silent. The only time you spoke up is when you see that your brother has decided to endorse Trump, and all of a sudden you're outraged, and it's been a shame that has been placed on your family. Please. You know, here's a family that has, okay, you look at her, Robert F. Kennedy. Everyone knows by now what type of lifestyle he ran before he was president and as president, a philanderer the entire time. We know that. When you look at what he accomplished as a president, it wasn't very much. Now, granted, he didn't have a full term, but during the time he was in, it wasn't very much. He stared down the Russians during a Cuban Missile Crisis, but he'd left hanging an awful lot of Cubans at the Bay of Pigs who were killed, many imprisoned. So that didn't turn out the way it should have. He left them hanging. So where was your outrage during that? We didn't hear of it at all. How about your family endorsing Bill Clinton, who we all know what type of philanderer he was and still is? He's been accused of rape by many women. Where was your outrage there? It wasn't. But now that your brother, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., solely because he says, "I'm endorsing Donald Trump," that you lose your mind. When he was running for office, you didn't lose your mind. It's only because he endorsed Trump. So I don't want to hear it. To me, that is just, it's as fake as everything else that comes from the left. Here's another article. This is from Fox News. Kamala Harris has avoided a press conference for 35 days. From Fox News, Vice President Kamala Harris has gone 5 weeks refusing to give specifics to voters about her policy positions, holding no news conferences, and sitting for zero major interviews since becoming the Democrats' presidential nominee. Harris spoke on Thursday at the Democrat National Convention, officially accepting the nomination, by the way, which she received no votes for. Nobody voted for her. Nobody voted for Tim Walz. They were installed. And there's nothing Democratic about that process. So officially accepting the nomination and has been busy on the campaign trail, but she has failed to face substantive questions since replacing President Biden on a ticket last month. Now that the party's national convention has wrapped up, speculation about when Harris will end her media blackout is likely to pick up steam, as Americans want to know where she stands on a variety of hot-button issues. Policy shifts on fracking, border security, and private health insurance are among issues that she has been urged to explain in recent weeks. I can guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, she is going to hold off on that as long as she can. And if possible, she won't ever do it. They are trying to replicate what they did with the last Biden campaign, where he stayed in his basement that entire election cycle, especially during the last days. And when he would hold rallies, you would see maybe a dozen people show up. And the same thing when Barack Obama would campaign for him, you might see 100, 200 people show up. And here's President Trump at rallies with tens of thousands of people showing up, with an overflow crowd outside looking at big screens and those waiting to get in miles long. And so what they are going to try to do, knowing that they cannot compete head on with President Trump and J.D. Vance, knowing that they can't do it, that they are going to keep her secluded just like they did with Joe Biden, keep her out of the way, just get to the election, try to steal the election, and then once the election has been stolen, put her in, and now we have the oligarchy, which is going to run things again like they did with Biden. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. We're going to continue after the hard break at the top. And when we continue, we have many other items that we're going to be discussing. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. And if you would like to join us, call in at 904-831-0917.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia.